But really, I would say the biggest thing for inflammation and for limiting the amount of fat that you're able to burn, the amount of fatty acids that your adipose tissue can release, would be the consumption of seed-based oils. I mean, that is probably the number one thing in our day and age, especially in the Western diet, that is contributing to, you know, a host of chronic disease factors, but particularly inflammation.
Welcome to Betty Bites, a decidedly delicious, short and sweet mind snack for your brain to chew on. I've gone back into the Betty library and pulled out my favorite Betty sound bites, a recipe, you might say. It's bits of wisdom, sprinkles of knowledge, and a dash of dry humor for you to do and be better.
One of my goals this year is to make it my best year ever with my skin. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is with the Boncharge Red Light Neck and Chest Mask. Wrinkles, acne, scarring, skin roughness, loss of collagen and elastin happen in the face and in the neck and the décolletage area on our chest, where the skin is very thin and susceptible to skin damage. I think at this point we're all pretty good about putting sunscreen on our face, but so many of us miss the neck and the chest area too. I use the Boncharge neck and chest mask daily for about 10 minutes in the morning while I'm checking emails. Their red and near infrared light waves together penetrate up to 5 to 10 centimeters below the skin surface. The red light reaches the skin's top layers, and the NIR light targets the deeper tissues without UV exposure, and that's going to help reduce the fine lines, wrinkles, and to help ramp up collagen and elastin production. So I want you to head over and have your best skin with me this year. Go to boncharge.com/better. That's BETTER. And use the discount code BETTER at checkout. And that's going to give you 15% off your entire cart. Transform your health and fitness with the Carol Bike, the smartest, most effective exercise backed by science. You can experience unparalleled results in just a minimum of 15 minutes per week, thanks to AI personalized workouts tailored to your age and your fitness level. You will increase fat loss, train up your strength and your speed, and have better energy, something that every woman, including myself, absolutely covets. I always say that women are the original biohackers. If there's a way for us to feel better and look better, we are all over it. Carol Bike, in my opinion, is one of the best pieces of cardio equipment that you can invest in. Studies prove that Carol helps you achieve a 12% increase in cardio fitness, lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and reduces blood pressure by 5% in as little as 8 weeks. Begin your transformation with the Carol Bike today and enjoy $100 off using the promo code BETTER for our beautiful Better Podcast listeners. That's BETTER. All you have to do is visit carolbike.com.
Listeners of the podcast can appreciate, you know, an acute inflammatory episode. Like, you know, if it's a physical, if it's in the physical vertical, that might be like, you know, a fall off a ladder or you injure yourself at the gym or something. And maybe like that might be a distress, a eustress might be exercise. But chronic inflammation, this sort of low grade subclinical inflammation, can be the reason why for many, even though they might be practicing eat less, move more, calories in, they're watching their calories versus their calories out, might like the weight might not be shifting for them. So can you outline for us what are some of the reasons why we might, or some of the ways in which we might be experiencing this subclinical, what I call chronic low-grade inflammation?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of things that can cause that type of inflammation. You know, some things are very obvious, like, you know, inadequate recovery from an exercise session because you're just beating yourself up with weight training, or say like a CrossFit workout or a high intensity interval training session every single day without properly recovering. You know, that's why I'm a huge fan of using some kind of a wearable, you know, like a ring or a wristband or something that will track what's called heart rate variability. Which is essentially a really, really gold standard way to measure whether you are recovered. And even if you can't go out and say, get a blood test every day for a good inflammatory metric like HSCRP or fibrinogen or homocysteine or cytokines, you know, there's all these blood measurements you can get for inflammation, which is smart to do, you know, on maybe like a quarterly basis to see how you're doing as far as your internal biology goes. You're not going to go out and get a blood test every day. But the cool thing is that by tracking your HRV and ensuring that it stays relatively high on a consistent basis, you kind of have a corollary to how recovered you are and how high your inflammation possibly is. Just because HRV is it's a really good metric for things like inflammation, stress, readiness to train, recovery, etc. So just over-exercising would be one thing. You know, a lot of healthy people, that'd be one reason for inflammation. As a matter of fact, if you go in for like a blood test for inflammatory markers and you have exercised hard in the 1 or 2 days prior, many physicians, if they don't know that you've exercised hard, they'll actually think you're like at high risk for a heart attack or have rampant inflammation, when in fact, all you've done is just done a hard exercise session, which isn't bad, but it can be if that's just like happening.
Well, it's transiently inflammatory. Like it's transiently inflammatory to the body. I mean, it's a good, yeah.
Yeah, temporarily, unless it's overdone, you know?
Yeah.
And that's interesting with some people. And you mentioned glycemic variability and, you know, those frequent fluctuations in blood sugar can not only be detrimental to some of those fat burning mechanisms that we talked about, if you are attempting to increase your fat burning efficiency, simply because your body's going to burn sugar as a preferential fuel source. If you're constantly, say, like, you know, snacking 6 to 10 times a day, which shockingly some nutritionists and personal trainers will still tell people to do to, you know, keep their metabolism elevated and their energy levels topped off, when in fact, all that does is just, you know, send your blood sugar levels on a roller coaster ride all day long and kind of keeps you from tapping into fats as a fuel. But the other thing is that constant surge in blood glucose can also be inflammatory from a vascular standpoint. And so being cognizant of the amount of time during the day that you're eating and how frequent your snacking is, and trying to focus on eating, just like, honestly, I eat 2 or 3 times a day. And in between, it's just, you know, water, gum, teas, coffees, things like that, that are relatively acaloric. That's a really good way, not only to maintain normalized glycemic variability, but also to keep your inflammation levels at bay.
I am incredibly bullish on sauna as a therapy for recovery, heart health, and overall aging well. I personally decided on an infrared sauna from Sunlighten because of the range of far wavelengths and near infrared wavelengths that it offers. Saunas help with detoxification and rejuvenation to rid your body of toxins. It helps with heart health by improving circulation, reducing blood pressure, and helping keep the arteries supple. It helps with muscle recovery by easing the tension and soreness to recover faster. And of course, stress reduction. With the warmth and the relaxation of sitting in a sauna, it's crucial for hormonal balance and achieving a state of well-being necessary for a strong physique and a strong mind. If you visit sunlighten.com/better and use code better to get a discount, that is sunlighten, sunlighten.com/better, and use code better at checkout.
But really, I would say the biggest thing for inflammation and for limiting the amount of fat that you're able to burn, the amount of fatty acids that your adipose tissue can release, would be the consumption of seed-based oils. I mean, that is probably the number one thing in our day and age, especially in the Western diet, that is contributing to, you know, a host of chronic disease factors, but particularly inflammation. And, you know, I'm not just talking about...
Name some of the seed oils for the listeners.
Canola oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, any seed or nut that has had to have been exposed to high pressure or high heat for extraction, you know, versus some of the oils that don't require that amount of heat for extraction, such as like extra virgin olive oil or avocado oil, or fats that are naturally stable or even solid at room temperature, like coconut oil or butter. Macadamia nut oil is another decent oil that doesn't require a lot of pressure or heat to extract it. It's pretty stable. But a lot of the common vegetable oils, you know, not only are they going to contribute to inflammation because they're already rancid, they're already oxidized, they're already going to cause an influx of free radicals and reactive oxygen species, which contribute to inflammation, but they'll also, you know, this is really interesting, you know, linoleic acid particularly, which is a pretty significant component of vegetable oil, it can actually induce a little bit of almost like a highly insulin sensitive state, which within fat cells, which you think would be a good thing. We always hear insulin sensitivity is good and insulin resistance is bad. But the problem is, if your fat cells are in an extremely insulin sensitive state, that means that they are equipped to take in energy. They're equipped to take in fat and not necessarily release it quite as readily. So it's really interesting in that the regular consumption of vegetable oils actually make your fat cells less resistant to releasing fat. It causes what's called fat cell hypertrophy. So you may have heard of muscle hypertrophy before, where you're putting on muscle. Well, the consumption of vegetable oil actually puts you in a fat cell hypertrophy state, where the fat cells get bigger and bigger because they're storing more and more fat. And so you have all these big fluffy fat cells that are just soaking up energy because of the consumption of vegetable oil, putting them in an insulin sensitive state. And so that's, you know, that in addition to inflammation kind of makes vegetable oils a 1-2 whammy. So yeah, over-exercising, over-snacking, or just rampant glycemic variability, consumption of vegetable oils, those would be a few of the biggies. And then one, I'd be remiss not to mention, just because a lot of people don't talk about this, but it is something you have to consider. And that would be just the host of what would be called non-native electromagnetic fields that we are bombarded with on a regular basis that we know can cause damage to cell membranes. I'm talking about 5G, Wi-Fi, even, you know, higher intensity Bluetooth to a certain extent, a lot of appliances, a lot of cell phone signals. All these things can cause low grade inflammation, and we can't deny the fact that, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, humans were never exposed to these type of signals, and now we're having to deal with them on a daily basis. And so that's another thing to just be aware of. I talk about that in my book. You know, I lay out all these different things, like, you know, digital wall timers and household cleaning methods and, you know, cell phone protection, you know, methods and ways that you can kind of mitigate some of this non-native EMF exposure. But that's actually, it's pretty significant, especially if you're living in, you know, an urban environment, or, you know, you're constantly tied to technology. It's something to think about for sure, in addition to some of those dietary and movement factors.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that. And I love what you're saying about vegetable oils, because I think, and in the book, you actually say this, I think that these can be actually more detrimental than sugar, right? And when we think about sugar, you know, when we think about the pendulum of, you know, vilified compounds, right? Like, it was cholesterol used to be the big thing, and fats were like the big no-no. And it's almost like now the pendulum has swung the other way, where sugar is the devil, insulin is the devil. And, you know, while I'm a big advocate for a carbohydrate appropriate diet, I'm not saying that you should just have all the sugar, all the cakes, the cookies, the crackers. I do think that the vegetable oils, this was a really good point in the book that you made, where the vegetable oils are actually, you know, more oxidizable, more rancid, and actually activate some of these like NRF2, like these inflammatory pathways in the body. And sugar, yes, okay, we're going to have like this, maybe you have this postprandial rise in glucose for like 2 hours, but then it's done, right? But it's the cognitive dissonance and like the beating yourself up and the, oh my God, I can't believe I had the piece of cake. And like, I've ruined the thing. I've ruined my diet. I'm like, there's something wrong with me. I think that can actually cause more damage, right? Because now you're increasing cortisol and these counter-regulatory hormones around sympathetic, yeah. You know, around the, yeah, sympathetic dominance.
I say in the book, you know, if you were, I think I give an analogy like this, if you were to offer me like a stick of cotton candy or like a corn dog at the fair, I'd totally choose the cotton candy 10 times out of 10, because frankly, if I have to, I can actually burn that glucose, right? I could go out and exercise. I could actually burn that sugar, and it's going to not cause as much of an effect as the rancid oils in something like a fried food, like a corn dog, because those are going to contribute to the fatty acids that comprise my cell membranes for the next few months. Right, and, right. You know, and also contribute to some of the inflammatory processes that we talked about. And so, yeah, I mean, if you had to choose, you know, the lesser of two evils, vegetable oil versus sugar, it'd certainly be sugar, simply because it can be burnt. And in active individuals, you know, we know that, you know, for me, you know, back in my Ironman training days, when I'd consume like a fructose and maltodextrin 200 calorie gel while hammering on my bike down the highway, like that's not doing anything from a health standpoint. You know, maybe a little bit of gut fermentation or something like that. We all know endurance athletes fart a lot, but, you know, in terms of like actual metabolic damage, my body's burning that, you know, literally, you know, almost as soon as it comes in.
As you're drinking whereas
if I were to be, you know, say like, you know, eating a burger in that same situation, it'd be an entirely different metabolic scenario.
All right, Betty's, if you found that that little snippet whet your appetite and you are looking for more, you can go to our show notes for this episode. And in the show notes, we will have a link for you to click on, and it will bring you to the full, robust, juicy conversation.